Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us this morning. As usual, we'll do a little recap of some of the stakes action. We'll do a little handicapping. Towards the end of the show, normally we have some guests plugged in, and we do, in a way, normally have somebody on the phone, but the Kentucky HBPA is on the grounds at Churchill, as they are every Derby season, doing some live interviews, and so yesterday there were some workouts in the morning, so we picked up some interviews that they did. David Carroll, who's the assistant of Mark Cassie, Soup and Sandwich was out, who I think is an interesting runner in the Derby, Helium. Julien Le Perreux was on board, so we'll hear from him. And we also have Brad Cox. And again, this was yesterday morning, talking about the works of Essential Quality and Mandaloon, who both had nice works yesterday. So we'll just hear a little bit about some of those Derby works from yesterday towards the end of the show from the folks on the backstretch down at Keeneland. Speaking of down at Churchill. Speaking of Churchill and Kentucky Derby, the Derby $5,000 syndicate opened and closed quickly yesterday. Took about 12 minutes to fill the team. First come, first serve, 30 folks on the $5,000 Kentucky Derby syndicate team, and the spots went fast. So good luck to everybody that got onto the team. Should be a lot of fun on Derby Day. $5,000 in various bets that the syndicate team will participate in. So again, congratulations if you got on the team, and good luck. The players' bankroll team, I think, did well yesterday. I went out towards the end of the afternoon. Shannon Donovan, who was kind of running the promotion, said at that point, I think it was already in the black. I think they'd already... What?
232 it ended up with.
Oh, so they did. They had a nice little run there, cashed some bets, and everybody walked away with a little bit of money. At the end of the day with the players' bankroll yesterday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. If you would like to participate in a Capital OTB promotional event, hey, today, there's two of them. Come on down to the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon to play the board promotion and the match bet. That they both happen right here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. You can come down. You can watch all the racing action. Any other sports action that they're going on our sports TVs at the end of the building, but you can also take a part in the two promotions this afternoon. We'd love to have you come on down. All right, let's go back to yesterday and watch a little bit of the stakes action. I'm going to pull up the whole Apple Blossom and we'll listen to the call and everything because it was highly anticipated. I talked about it plenty the week leading up, and yesterday on Racing Across America, the showdown between two Eclipse champions, Monomoy Girl and Swiss Skydiver. It went off a little after 7 o'clock last night, and as I say, we'll watch the whole thing. We talked about it, and I anticipated Monomoy Girl and Swiss Skydiver. I hoped we'd get a nice showdown in the stretch. And I tilted towards Monomoy Girl and wanted that showdown. As I say, I anticipated and wanted it. But as we talked, it was also notable. Latruska, with the early pace, had the potential to make things interesting. And Latruska also had the red-hot Irad Ortiz on board. So it was going to be interesting to see how the pace shaped up going into the first turn, into the backstretch. And it was interesting, and it played out based on that pace as they came down the stretch as well. So we'll talk a little bit about it in review after we watch the race. But up next, yesterday's Apple Blossom. Number 6, Monomoy Girl. Number 2, Swiss Skydiver. Number 3, Latruska. Take it away.
They're at the post. They're off. Swiss Skydiver was asked for speed by Robbie Alvarado. Latruska was not asked for speed, but they are matching strides early. To the outside and Monomoy Girl away in a third. Then Get Rid of What Ails You and Chance to Shine, and the early trailer is another broad. Now Latruska will take charge to the backstretch, and she leads by a length from Swiss Skydiver, who has to sit second. Monomoy Girl moves up outside of her. Now Monomoy Girl is in 2nd and a length behind Latruska. These three have sprinted about 10 lengths clear of Chance to Shine and Get Rid of What Ails You, and the trailer is Another Broad up the backstretch. In the 57th, Apple Blossom and Latruska is the controlling speed. She has left the rail open for Swiss Skydiver. If she's bold enough to go through there, Latruska leads a measured three quarters of a length. They run past the half mile pole. It's the Interloper and two champions in a sprint, to the wire for $1 million. Latruska continues to lead. Monomoy Girl is now clearly in second. Swiss Skydiver's back at the rail in third and two from the front. The rest are far back. Latruska a quarter mile from home in the Apple Blossom. Just a neck in front of Monomoy Girl, who comes to challenge, and Monomoy Girl has put her head in front. Latruska is back to second. Swiss Skydiver is two back in third, and Monomoy Girl has a final furlong to get, but Latruska is battling on bravely. Monomoy Girl a length. Latruska doing her level best. Monomoy Girl, Latruska battling back. Latruska, Monomoy Girl, Latruska has turned away the champion. Oh my goodness. Latruska wins the Apple Blossom.
Well, we did get the stretch duel. I was hoping it was Monomoy Girl and Swiss Skydiver, but it was Monomoy Girl and Latruska with, again, the red-hot Irad Ortiz on board, and he played it out very nicely. He was out there fractions of 23 and change, 47 and change, 112. It looked like on the turn, it looked like maybe Swiss Skydiver was losing a little ground, and then as they came in, the top two came off the rail a little bit, and I thought Swiss Skydiver was going to come up the inside and really challenge. You can see Swiss Skydiver there. A little bit disappointing. Chart margin was back by over six lengths, so that was a little bit of a disappointment. Top two did not disappoint. Ding Dong battled down to the wire. Brad Cox was quoted as saying, I thought we were going to win. And I think everybody, you know, the champion, and you get the, you know, the head in front, and you think, oh, she's going to do it. But Latruska has, you know, plenty left, and comes out the victor under the wire. Now, there was a difference in the weights, and, you know, these days, as compared to when I first got in the game, you don't pay as much attention to that. But it was 6 pounds. Look at the margin of victory. And so you would think maybe the weights played a little bit into it. Monomoy Girl, 124. Latruska, 118. I think Irad Ortiz did play into it. I mean, he's just, there are some handicappers out there who just do not think jockeys make a big difference. You can put anybody on the best horse and they're going to win. And I do not agree with that at all. But particularly in situations like this, when you have a guy like Irad Ortiz who, you know, has really been riding well for a while now, but boy, he is just, over the past few months, been really, really at the top of his game. And so I think he adds to the ability of a horse like Latruska, who has the talent, but I think he helped things out there, certainly. Went off at 3-1 as the third choice. Monomoy Girl was 3-5. Swiss Skydiver was 9-5. And Latruska, 340 to the dollar, so pays 880 to win in a nice performance. Now, it was a 102 buyer. That was Latruska's lifetime best buyer, so a lifetime best performance it took to beat Monomoy Girl. And Monomoy Girl, assuming she was right there as well, that would be her second best buyer figure of her career. So it was a ding-dong battle down the stretch. It just wasn't necessarily the two we were anticipating or wanted, but take nothing away. Latruska steps into a top position in this year's older filly and mare division, but Monomoy Girl, you know, no shame in defeat. She was right there. Going to be interesting to see where these horses show up next. Maybe get a little day or two after assessment from Kenny McPeak on Swiss Skydiver, although I anticipate she will be fine and come back and be a real player in the division as well. It was a fun race. Again, you wanted that ding-dong between the two champions. We didn't quite get that, but it was still a heck of a race down at Oaklawn, and I said it yesterday, I'll say it again, hats off to the Sella family and everybody at Oaklawn for just having turned that into such a winter destination, and, you know, the third $1 million race in just over a week. the Apple Blossom yesterday down at Oaklawn. One of the other million-dollar races at Oaklawn over the past week was also run yesterday. It was the Oaklawn Handicap. Nice field of eight entered in here. I put Silver State on top, but I thought it was a very competitive race. Fearless from Todd Pletcher had come back in the five-year-old debut down at Gulfstream from a June layoff, had come back in February, the end of February, in the Gulfstream Park Mile, had a gutsy win there with a lifetime best buyer figure. I thought Fearless was a player. I had that one a little further down in the mix, though. Express Train came in from Southern California off a close-up finish in the Santa Anita Handicap, so that horse was a real player for John Sheriffs. Owendale just always seems to be in the mix for Brad Cox. So those were my four. I had it Silver State over Express Train, over Owendale, over Fearless was the way I saw it. And it came out with those horses. Silver State will get it done as we watch the stretch run here. The other three are kind of in the mix underneath. Silver State, number one. And Vic Stoffer says six of them across the track. It was, again, some kind of a race. Silver State, the number one. Fearless, the number three, comes up the inside. Number two, Express Train, third. And number six, Owendale, fourth. But again, about the eighth pole, this was some battle. But Silver State gets it done. We talked about the older filly and mayor division, you know, becoming players in that with Latruska. But Silver State, certainly a player in the handicap division this year as a four-year-old for Steve Asmussen. He just seems to have come into his own now. I think Nancy Holt has said that. It seems like he has come into his own. We talked to her yesterday in preview of the race, and she said it seems like he's come into his own this year. And at the end of last year, he won an optional claimer down at Churchill in November of his three-year-old season last year with a 101 lifetime best buyer figure. Subsequently comes down to Oaklawn. In January, he wins the fifth season. In March, he wins the Essex. And in April, he wins the Oaklawn Handicap worth $1 million. And quite a 7-8 days for Steve Asmussen. Wins the $1 million Arkansas Derby last week. Wins the $1 million Oaklawn Handicap this week with Silver State. So again, nice performance there as well. And again, another nice race on the card. The two stakes races played out very nicely with the Ding Dong battle in the Apple Blossom and literally half a dozen across the track in the Oaklawn Handicap. It's been a nice meet at Oaklawn. I always enjoy Oaklawn, and this weekend did not disappoint down in Arkansas. Stakes action continued at Keeneland as well. Another nice meet that I think has been a lot of fun this spring. And yesterday's feature was the Elkhorn, mile and a half on the grass. I took a little pop with Red Knight, who will be the number 10 horse and will be in the mix as they get into the stretch, but winds up kind of disappointing is with the second choice at third choice at 3-1. Red Knight for Bill Mott and James Graham winds up sixth in the field of eight. But right underneath, I had Say the Word. Say the Word went off as the 5-2 second choice. And under Luis Saez, speaking of red hot jockeys, Say the Word gets it done here. Chart margin winds up to be a length and a half. Channel Cat, the six-year-old for Jack Sisterson and Calumet, winds up second. Crafty Daddy, the number three, third. As I say, Red Knight disappoints a little bit. The favorite, number six, Tide of the Sea, that was a disappointment as well. That 2-1 winds up seventh in the field of eight. But Say the Word, who was logical, again, second choice at 5-2 for Phil D'Amato, came in off a second-place finish behind United going this mile-and-a-half trip out at Santa Anita in a stakes race last time. So he was certainly a logical player. But again, I think having the also, you know, if Irod Ortiz is red hot, Luis Saez is also red hot currently at Keeneland. Let me see if I can quickly pull up here on Equibase, just because the stats I have for Luis Saez in the racing form are obviously a couple days old. But I'll see if I can pull up quickly the jockey stats at Keeneland right now. Because Luis Saez is just, he's been unconscious at the meet. Gets the stakes race yesterday as well. And here we go. Luis Saez currently 26 for 76, 34% at the meet. Just incredible. Maybe more notable, he's the leading rider. And a short meet like that, a short meet and a short high-quality meet where the jockey colony tends to be high-quality as well, it's hard to pull away. But currently in the jockey standings, Luis Saez, 26 victories in the number one position, obviously. Joel Rosario is number two with 14. So 26 versus 14. In a short meet like this, to open up like that is absolutely incredible. So again, it's been a really nice Keeneland for Luis Saez. And we mentioned it yesterday when we talked a little bit about him on the handicappers report with Brian Adone. He said it's always easy also to root for Kieran McLaughlin, who retired from the training side of things to become a jockey's agent for Luis Saez. So moved on to a pretty nice spot there as far as making a nice team, Luis Saez and Kieran McLaughlin. All right, and finally, we'll take a look at a couple Aqueduct Stakes, but there was also one on Friday from Keeneland we'll look at in a minute as well. But let's start out with yesterday's two stakes from Aqueduct. The New York Stallion Series, it will be the number one Devious Moe at 11-1, 5-1 on the morning line. And I get why the horse kind of went up. And Devious Moe here is out in front. It's Mike Rapoli, you can tell by the silks, Rudy Rodriguez training this one. And so how does a horse like this, coming on a nice win last time, get away at this 11-1 price? The win last time was against maiden 25 claimers, and it was the seventh career start. So you had to wonder about the class, but holds off an oncoming Sinful Dancer, who was the 8-5 favorite. And Sinful Dancer had finished second in the career debut, but with a buyer figure that clearly had an edge on this bunch. So the betting public tilted there and lived up. I mean, it was the second career start. The horse is still a maiden, a close-up, but a half length, three-quarters of a length margin in a stakes race. So that was not a bad performance by Sinful Dancer. George Weaver has a nice runner there. But Devious Moe would not let that one go by. So it took a while for Devious Moe maybe to figure it out, but now it's put a couple of wins together, broke the maiden in, and I should say, this is a pretty clever claim for Mike Rapoli. This horse started the career maiden special company in the first three starts of the career, and then last November dropped in for a tag, and Mike Rapoli reached in with some of that miracle water money or whatever the company. Vitamin water. Well, it does miracles. You drink a little bit of it, sold the vitamin water company for a few billion dollars and now enjoying the horse racing game. God bless him. And subsequent to the claim, had three starts, but still a maiden. They tried maiden special weight company and ran fifth. They tried maiden 40s and ran fourth. And then the last time they broke the maiden for a 25 tag. So again, it takes you that long to break the maiden. You do it for a 25 tag, you jump into a stakes race. The 11-1 was probably justified, but he looked pretty good there. So, again, it looks like a very good claim. They claim the horse, third start they get a win to break the maiden, and the fourth start they win a nice little stakes race that clearly, with the $200,000 purse, covered their $40,000 claiming purchase price from last November. So congratulations to that team, Devious Moe. Manny Franco was on board. One race later, I talk about it quite a bit, that division I like, the three-year-olds on the turf. That was the Woodhaven yesterday at Aqueduct. They were going a mile and a 16th on the grass. I like Sifting Sands for Chad Brown and Peter Brandt, who had broken the maiden last time down at Tampa in only the second career start. The buyer number might have been a little bit light as compared to the bunch that ran yesterday. But I just thought with that team and being lightly raced with only a couple of starts, I thought maybe there was some upside potential. Wrong. Sifting Sands did not look good yesterday. Betting public had that one at 5-1. Sifting Sands is the number 7. You can kind of see that chicklet and the horse way in back. But the horse I had right underneath and was the favorite, logically so. Hard Love for Jonathan Thomas, LaPenta, and Augustine. A couple of starts in the two-year-old season were pretty good. Betting public was on board at 2-5 and looked it in the three-year-old debut. It's a Gamble runs second, Original runs third, but a nice performance from the 2-5 favorite. stamping himself as a player in that division I like, that subdivision I like of the three-year-olds on turf. Debuted at Belmont last October, won the career debut, and then they put the horse in a little turf stake last November for two-year-olds and ran second. Those were the only two starts. They were good numbers. They were good performances. Off of those, the betting public justifiably made that one a short-priced favorite and ran to it in the three-year-old debut. So only three starts, a couple of wins, potent connections, and again, hard love, a likely player in that three-year-old turf division, which, again, I like it because it just seems like every venue across the country has something, has one or two nice stakes at least. Up here at Saratoga, Hall of Fame, and you know there are nice spots for these three-year-olds to face off almost all year long, and it seems like every week or two, there's one of these three-year-old turf stakes races, and they tend to be very competitive and a lot of fun. And Hard Love should be a player in there this year. All right, finally, let's go back to Friday and the feature race at Keeneland. Again, like Saratoga, Keeneland's nice. You have a boutique meet, and so you can get some stakes action tossed in on weekdays. And Friday was the Grade 3 Double Dog Dare. Fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th. I liked Royal Flag, who runs nicely here, and I thought coming to the wire I was going to get the win. Right underneath, I had Bonnie South. So my top two are going to flip-flop as they get to the wire. I took a little shot. I had Speech in the third spot, so I took a little shot against that one. It was the morning line favorite. Speech was a horse that had shown some real ability last year as a three-year-old filly and had won the Ashland at Keeneland. Well, it turned out I was right taking a little shot against Speech. The number six winds up last as the 3-2 favorite. But coming to the wire, Bonnie South, the number five, Royal Flag, the number one, Graceful Princess, the number three. And Bonnie South just will not let them go by. I thought, like I said, I thought Royal Flag had a little momentum and maybe primed to go by there on the outside. But Bonnie South said, no going by, and gets it done. This was the four-year-old debut for Bonnie South, who herself was a nice little three-year-old filly last year for Brad Cox. She had won the Fairgrounds Oaks. She had run second to Swiss Skydiver, who put in a fabulous performance, Swiss Skydiver in the Alabama. And so there was no shame in running second that day in the Alabama. That was Bonnie South. Ran second also in the Black Eyed Susan and second last November in the Fall City at Churchill. So in the three-year-old season, Bonnie South, couple of wins and three second-place finishes in six career starts. Our four-year-old debut, she was coming in with nice workouts, and now she also becomes a little bit of a player in that filly and mare division, you would have to think, which is shaping up, it looks like, to be a lot of fun this year. Last year, the divisions played out so well as we got to this time of year and into the summer, and then at Saratoga, we were seeing some real stars and performances in the various divisions, and it was just a shame that the fans couldn't be there. Well, you know, this year, it looks like, we talked about it on yesterday's show, fans will be back on track at Saratoga in some capacity, and hopefully, you know, right now we're looking at probably 20%. But hopefully as the weeks go by and vaccines have wider distribution and wider, a greater number of folks getting the vaccine, hopefully the capacity expands as we get closer to Saratoga and people can be on track to watch those great performances. Because again, it looks like another year where it's shaping up in the various divisions to be an awful lot of fun. All right, I'm going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll do a little handicapping for this afternoon. And as I said, a little bit later on, we'll pick up some of the interviews that were done on the backstretch yesterday at Churchill after some of the Kentucky Derby horses worked. All of that coming up when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
And again, spread the word. If you have friends that don't live in the area, alert them to that Roku option. If friends who could maybe come in during Saratoga and hang out with you watching OTB when they're here in the local area and say, man, we don't have anything like this where we live. Now they do via Roku, so spread the word to those folks. We started at the first of the year, and there's been a lot of nice feedback. I've heard from various folks. Had a New York trainer text me the other day with a picture of the TV and said, hey, my new favorite channel. And he was watching on Roku, so that was nice to hear. Let's jump in and do a little handicapping for this afternoon, and I'll focus on the late pick four at Oaklawn. Why? I love Oaklawn. I think there's always some nice value there. We'll see if there's some value here in this first leg of the late pick four at Oaklawn. The morning line says yes. I'm not totally convinced. But the late pick four at Oaklawn today starts in race number six. Conditional claimers going 3/4 of a mile. I have a 2, 3, 12, and 4. The number two is Jackman, and it's 8-1 on the morning line. That's what I was kind of alluding to. It's third off the claim for Carl Broberg. Claimed the horse for $10,000 out of a maiden claiming victory. Came back for a 25 conditional tag and ran a good second. Then got ambitious last time and went into an optional claimer starter allowance and didn't run quite as well. Dropped back to the conditional claiming level. I think that's going to get us closer to what we saw at two back, and that race two back is good enough to get it done with this bunch. And I think the betting public may see the same thing and also see Carl Broberg, who's having a pretty good meet down there. So I'm not convinced we'll get that 8-1. Now, it is a nice big field, and I think it's a competitive field. So maybe we'll get some value. I'm just not totally convinced on that 8-1, but I'll take it if we get it. Number two, Jackman on top. FF Rocket in the second spot. Again, this one, two back, ran a pretty nice race in a conditional claiming event. And then, like the top pick, got into a saltier spot last time. Didn't run quite as well. So I think this one also potentially returning to the comfort zone. Shanghai's Dream in the third spot. It's an Asmussen trainee who laid off from August until the middle of March and ran in a waiver claimer here. Should benefit from that. Should have gotten some fitness. Ran third, but I think probably moves forward from that. Ricardo Santana on board is having a really nice meet down there at Oaklawn. Rise Up Red Hawk, I think, could be a player as well, being lightly raced and having the seasonal debut under the belt. So again, I haven't formulated a ticket. These are just thoughts for that pick four sequence. But in the opening leg, race six this afternoon at Oaklawn, 2, 3, 12, and 4. Race number seven at Oaklawn, maiden 20 claimers going 3/4 of a mile. I have it 7, 5, 1, and 3. I will put Just Life on top. Comes out of a second place finish last time, claimed out of that race, and I think overall just was showing, it was one of those patterns that maybe the horse was primed for a good effort, and I thought the last was a good effort with a lifetime best buyer number. Claimed, moves up a little off the claim. I don't think the move up is going to be enough to be an obstacle in here. Trainer is kind of lower percent. I mean, when you're under 10%, under 10% for the meet, first off, the claim numbers aren't anything, but it's with a very limited sample. I just thought, overall, this is kind of a weak field. And this horse, at least, has been showing some life, particularly that last race. But off the claim, I was a little bit concerned. I still just, I couldn't find any alternatives. And again, which looks to be a relatively weak field. Any alternatives that I had any more confidence in, let's put it that way. Queen's Gift in the second spot. This one is the morning line favorite. It's Ron Moquette with a horse that, in the second start of the career at Churchill last year, showed some ability. Ran a pretty nice second, ran a number that was pretty good. Laid off from that November start, however, to March, and the comeback was just not good at all. Now takes another step, half step down the claiming ladder. But, boy, the race two back to end the two-year-old season was definitely good enough. And maybe we get back to that because the career debut wasn't much. The second start was clearly improved. So maybe this horse just needs one off a layoff. The first start of the career to the second start improvement, maybe the first start of the season to second start. So I have that one in. I'm not quite sure I'm buying the 9-5 favoritism. And I'm not going to be surprised if this horse with the betting public takes a lot of action as well. But off the last race, I certainly wouldn't lean on that in a strong fashion if I'm playing picks. I'm going to spread around a little bit. Ambitiously placed. 10 tries, hasn't gotten it done. But boy, a close-up second last time in a similar race says, I think you got to put that one in the mix. And being by uncaptured, WW Valid, the number 3 horse. Again, this is the kind of race where you can take a fresh face, and this is the one that attracted my attention a little bit, again, with Uncaptured on top. So in the 7th at Oaklawn, 7-5, 1-3. Oaklawn's 8th race is state bred allowance with a C condition, 8.5 furlongs. I have it 6-1, 5-9. I'll put 2 pretty on top. Nice win last time and a money allowance. That was the second start off a long layoff. I think that has the horse moving in the right direction in good form. Third start back, should string a couple together. Zan Shoes in the second spot. Another horse that's been in some pretty good form since arriving at Oaklawn. Ran 4th last time after having a string of pretty good, win, a third, a second in the starts just prior. But the 4th last time was okay. It was a close-up 4th and was right in the thick of things. Those were sprints in the last 2 races. 3 races back, tried this mile in a 16th, ran an okay 3rd, so I don't think that's going to be an obstacle. And maybe even off the 2 sprints is now kind of set up for a good return to the 2 turns. 3rd spot, Hissy Missy. A 3rd, 3 starts back on the arrival at Oaklawn, and since then, 2 close-up 2nd place finishes, so another one that seems primed for a good effort this afternoon. I could make almost the same case for each of these. The top 2 are probably a little more attractive to me, but again, Hissy Missy is also very playable. Florida Bird I have underneath. I would probably feel comfortable maybe going 2 deep in here, maybe 3 deep. But if you're able to spread, you can toss in the number 9 as well. In the 8th at Oaklawn, 6-1, 5-9. And in the 9th and final at Oaklawn on Sunday afternoon, 8-1, 6-9 for me. These are conditional claimers going a mile and a 16th. Carl Broberg off the claim with Jewel Azul. 3 starts last year and then came back in February here at Oaklawn. Ran a nice winning effort when dropped in for a $10,000 tag. Crafty Carl Broberg could see the talent potential and jumped in and took the horse for $10,000. Now comes back for a 12-5 N2L. I think the move to $10,000 last time and the pretty convincing win says this horse has now found the price comfort zone. Crafty claim by Carl Broberg, and I think will fit nicely with these. Steve Asmussen trains Flower House. I have that one in the 2nd slot. Steve Asmussen owned and trained. And I said it when Sam Houston closed a couple weeks ago. Steve Asmussen, not only the leading trainer at Sam Houston, he was the leading owner. So he's picking up a lot of these lower-level claimers, having some fun, and getting into the winner's circle. Has not done so since claiming this one 4 starts back, but ran a good 2nd last time. Comes in from Sam Houston. Should be a player. Competitive Fire, you're always up against it when you come from the clouds, but that is the style. And a style at Oaklawn that may be better suited to this track than other tracks. I've said it many times. I love the horses who are sitting maybe 4th or 5th or 6th about halfway on the far turn, but on the outside with the momentum, they seem to do very well at Oaklawn. That may be the case with competitive fire. So for me, in the ninth at Oaklawn, 8-1, 6-9. And I speak about Carl Broberg and claiming my top pick in that race, Jewel Azul, and it got me to thinking. If you were watching Racing Across America last week, Arkansas Derby morning, I had Rick Hammerly on, director of racing down at Oaklawn, and we were talking about the claim box at Oaklawn. And I mentioned it yesterday with Nancy Holthus, and typically when we have Nancy on during the year, as it gets to the end of the year, we will talk about the claims at Oaklawn. And just the claim box down there is insane. And with sales tax, the state of Arkansas must be thrilled. But last week, Hammerly was talking about just how many claims were made when I brought up the subject, and they've had shakes, and they had 20-person shake. If you're not familiar with the shake, if you want to claim a horse, you go in before the race is run, and you put a slip in the box. When the race is over, they open up the box and see who got claimed. If there are more than one claim for a particular horse, they do a shake. I guess you get a numbered pill maybe, and they put numbered pills in, and then they'll draw it out, and whoever has the winning pill gets that. But it's a drawing, essentially, to see who wins the horse if there are multiple claims in for one particular horse. And, you know, a two- or three-way shake is not unusual at any track. But Hammerly last week said, we've had a couple of 20-way shakes, which is just insane. Well, at the end of the day yesterday, Hammerly sent me a text from the racing office. It looked like a convention, and all the usual suspects. Robertina Diodoro was there and other notable claiming trainers. But there was a slew of people, and Hammerly said, there was a 34-way shake in the last race. It's insane, the claim box down there at Oaklawn. 34 slips in for the same horse yesterday. It's like you win the lottery when you want. It must have been a celebration for whoever got the horse. Before we go to the commercial break, I do want to alert you, because I got alerted. Top of the show, I said the Kentucky Derby Syndicate, which opened yesterday at noontime, first come, first serve for 30 people. 12 minutes later, 30 people were in. And so the Kentucky Derby Syndicate sold out, so to speak, yesterday. Which, again, congratulations if you got on, and good luck to the syndicate team, who will have a nice array of bets on Derby Day to root for. But I've been alerted, because it sold out so fast, we're going to have another Kentucky Derby Syndicate this week. So keep your eyes and ears open. We will certainly alert you in plenty of time to jump on board. But it looks like with things selling out so quickly yesterday, we'll open things up for yet another Kentucky Derby Syndicate. So again, keep your eyes and ears open. We'll let you know. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, again, Kentucky Derby, the Kentucky HBPA was on the backstretch, has been for the last few days, will be up to Kentucky Derby time, taping some interviews for use by media around the country from some of the connections of potential Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks runners, and there were some nice workouts yesterday at Churchill Downs in the morning. So when we come back, we'll hear from some of the connections of a few of the interesting potential runners in the Kentucky Derby that's coming up in a couple of weeks. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Want to take advantage of everything Capital OTB has to offer? Become a Capital Bets account holder today. It's quick and easy, and now for the month of April, it's our new member sign-up bonus. Simply make a minimum deposit of $200, bet $400, and receive a $200 cash bonus deposited directly into your new account. That's $200 free money from Capital OTB, so sign up today and win more with Capital OTB.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone
surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. Normally, we'll have a phone guest here, but there were some interesting interviews out there done, again, by the Kentucky HBPA. I believe Jenny Reese, I think, when I was listening to some of the interviews, I'm pretty sure Alicia Hughes was in the mix as well. But they've been roaming around the backstretch, picking up interviews from some of the key players heading into the Derby and the Oaks in a couple of weeks. So we'll hit on a couple of those. But before we do, speaking of the workouts, I was just alerted from the control room. Starting this week, early in the morning, you'll be able to watch the Derby show that's put out by Churchill and watch some of the workouts and hear from some of the people. And I also read within the past couple of days, I believe Rosina Pravnik is going to be one of the hosts of the Derby show coming out of Churchill over the next couple of weeks. So again, you'll be able to watch that here early in the morning on the network starting next week. So keep that in mind as well to keep yourself up to date as we head into Kentucky Derby 2021, or of the year 2021. First up on our interviews, though, David Carroll, who is the assistant to Mark Cassie. They caught up with him on the backstretch yesterday. And again, these were interviews done yesterday after Saturday morning workouts. Soup and Sandwich had been on the track. Soup and Sandwich, interesting. I think fun. Won first couple of starts and then ran second in the Florida Derby to get enough points to get in the Kentucky Derby. So Soup and Sandwich was on track yesterday. David Carroll will talk about that one. Also from Mark Cassie, Helium, 3-for-3 so far, including a win in the Tampa Bay Derby. Julien Le Perreault was on board for the workout yesterday. So we hear from Julien talking a little bit about Helium. Those interviews are up next.
Let's turn again. I go, where's his workmate?
Yeah, I mean, he's very, very impressive. He's got to give a lot of credit to Nick Tomlinson and the crew at Pan Meadows. Nick loved his horse before he ever ran, even though he said he was very immature, and you know, and he showed that in his first race and even his second race, and he's learning on the job, so to speak. So hopefully we can keep him in one piece. But he's you'd have to think, having just ran three races, that there's a lot more upside to him. His race in the Florida Derby was very, very good. Didn't switch leads, just drew greenness, had every chance to give it up, and he didn't. He shipped up here beautifully, settled in really nice horse to work with, and we're just loving what we're seeing.
That obviously had to be a signal of the confidence that the whole team had in him to even send him into the Florida Derby, only just his third career start and everything, in his first try against Stakes Company.
Absolutely, and like I said, before he ever ran, you know, Nick was saying really good things, and Mark were saying really good things about this colt, even though he was acting very green at the time. So, you know, he won just, you know, through talent. And then in order to get another race in him, ended up having to go to Tampa in the three-horse field, which, you know, he had some issues there in the three-horse field. But just to having to travel over a different surface, and then to win the way he did, and then ship on back to Palmettos, and then ship down to run on Derby Day. You know, so he's been having to ship, and he's, like I said, he's learning on the job. But he came into us in great shape. Very excited about the horse, we really are. We're very excited about our both horses, Helium and him. They're two very nice horses. Helium's unbeaten. So hopefully, it'll be nice to stay unbeaten, obviously, but it's nice to have two shots at the Derby, for sure.
And, I was going to say, they would both seem to have the upside because Helium is so lightly raced as well.
Absolutely. He's got a great mind on him. Beautiful horse to be around. His first two races were on the Tapeta. You know, to run him in the Tampa Bay Derby was, you know, just an unbelievable decision by Mark and Mr. Green and the team, because I was asking a lot of him to go that far off that long a layoff. He was wide the whole way. He was passed and he battled back. So he showed great qualities. He came out of that race great. Mark wanted to work him from the gate just to remind him it's been a while, and Julien was on him yesterday and he just loved him. But he's just a lovely horse to be around. You know, they're both great horses to be around, and yeah, it's just a privilege to be around these kind of horses.
Was this their last serious work, or will they have a serious work a week from now?
Their next serious workout, Jenny, would be in the Kentucky Derby, but they'll have a maintenance work. Yeah, this is their major work. Hopefully they'll be okay tomorrow, and it'll just be Mark will be here, and I'm sure it'll just be a maintenance half mile, and get them over there and school them, and just go through the normal process in preparation for the Derby.
When you look around and see the round of 100-point prep races, only one favorite, and that being the Teal Champion, won. And that was a pretty close race, too. I mean, how do you feel about the Derby picture and the competition that you're going to be going up against with these two horses?
I mean, the hardest thing about the Derby in itself is getting to the Derby, as we see horses, you know, by the week, falling by the wayside. Essential quality, you know, he's a champion. You know, he wants to win. He knows how to win. He'll be the obvious favorite. But after that, it's certainly wide open. Yeah, and we like to think that our horses have upside to them, hopefully more room for improvement, which they're going to need. But yeah, this year it's definitely wide open. There's no standout.
Okay.
He went good. He went from the gate. It was a nice breeze. I think he went 101 from the gate, which is good here. Did it very nicely, and very happy with it, yeah.
How much do you know about him other than he's unbeaten?
I breathed him twice. I watched all the races that he ran, and I breathed him twice, so yeah, that's it.
There's a time when a horse that's so lightly raced, only three races and stuff, you think, boy, it'd be hard to win the Derby, but everything's changed so much with these. You know, everybody's so lightly. They sort of, you know, talk about how he feels to you and how you feel about your chances in the
Well, he's a pretty, pretty nice horse, very quiet, very professional, so I don't think it matters. You know, I think this year is pretty open anyway, so he's got a good chance.
So again, Julian Lippereau on Helium and his workout yesterday. David Carroll on Soup and Sandwich. Both, I think, are kind of interesting for Mark Cassie. They seem maybe a little inexperienced, although the Derby over the past few years has become a new kind of an animal, so it's hard to say exactly, but I think they're both a little bit interesting. Up next, Brad Cox. Caught up with him on the backstretch yesterday after workouts by Essential Quality and Mandaloon at Churchill. Essential Quality went in 59.3. Luis Saez was up. Mandaloon went in 111.2. Florent Giraud was on board. Mike Welch commented on Twitter yesterday as far as Mandaloon's workout. Looks super. So, again, up next, trainer Brad Cox talks the workouts yesterday morning for both Essential Quality and Mandaloon.
Yeah, Mandaloon was 3/4 from the 5/8 this morning inside of a colt named Colonel Bowman. Breeds really well. I think we had him 111.3 for the 3/4. Galloped out really well. Looking to do a little more with him just because he hasn't run since the Louisiana Derby, so 2 weeks out. Great move. Florent was very happy with him. Essential Quality was 5/8 from the half mile with a workmate with Spa City. Really good move. We had him at 59.3. Nice gallop out. Once again, Louis was super happy with him as well. And, you know, they're both on track. I mean, they were nice works this morning, good gallop outs, and, you know, they're moving great. So I feel like we're on track for a big, you know, we got 2 weeks to go, but, you know, as of right now, we're on track for the Derby, both colts.
What will you be looking for with your final work for them?
Probably not quite as much, you know, just as long as they're into the bridle, taking the jocks or riders around there, you know, the right way. So that's what we'll be looking for more than anything in the final.
He looked like he was doing it easy.
Yeah, both colts, you know, well within themselves. Once again, riders are super happy with them. You know, the racetrack's tight this morning, exactly while we're doing this at 5:15. This is what we like for our stable, our horses to work early if we can, and it worked out really well.
What does it buy you to work this early?
A tight racetrack. We like a real tight racetrack. We tend to work a touch fast. I mean, we like our horses to skip around there, you know, as long as they're well in hand, and they both were. So that's what we're really looking for, and I feel like we achieved that this morning.
What are the keys for the next 2 weeks just to get there?
Just kind of more of the same. I mean, you know, especially with Essential Quality. I mean, he's been so good, and Mandaloon as well. I mean, they've been so good for so long. You just kind of like, man, you know, you just want to stay right where you are. You know, you don't want to change anything. They've been training well. Just continue to do that. And hopefully, you know, there's a lot of variables with the Derby. I mean, you got to get a good draw, you got to get a good trip. But, you know, as far as what we can do, you know, just more of the same, really, to be honest with both of them.
Mandaloon's had a couple of really sharp works here now the last couple of weeks. Has he come out of the Louisiana Derby well and looks to be coming into this the right way?
Yeah, pretty much more of the same with him. That's what's kind of makes you scratch your head with the Louisiana Derby. I mean, it was, you know, not what we were expecting. We thought, you know, he was favored for a reason with what he had accomplished prior to the Louisiana Derby and how he had trained gives a lot of confidence. He obviously just was not himself that day. We could not find any physical reason. I mean, I kind of wish we could have, but we couldn't. So we're just drawing a line through it, and hopefully he can move forward again.
So it's just a little Thunder Gulch theory, bad prep, and then bounces back and wins.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, he was a little wide in the Louisiana Derby and up close to somewhat of a hot pace, but really no excuse there because both horses that were inside of him stayed on, and he did not. So, you know, I can't use the pace as that much of an excuse. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, I'm hopeful that he can bounce back and, you know, get back on the winning track.
Does that give you any question about the distance? I mean, he did win the Risen Star at a mile and eighth, but then at a mile 3/16.
No, it didn't because, to me, he was done, you know, at the 3.5 that day. He just wasn't traveling well. So traveling well as in taking the rider there, not as if he was physically anything wrong with him. He just wasn't taking Florent up to the leaders like he should have been. Florent was having to ask him while the leader was still kind of under a hold. So no, the distance I don't think is going to be an issue. He's out of an Empire Maker. Jeb Mott does a lot of research. Obviously they have the mare and he's a homebred, and you know he comes from a family that should be able to get the mile on the course.
What's your take on the field? It seems like you have found out one of a whole bunch of horses right after that.
It's a good group. It's a very, very good group. You know, I do feel like, you know, Central Quality deserves to be the favorite with what he's accomplished in his 5 starts. But aside from that, I mean, you know, it's basically, you know, he, Mandaloon, they were some of the better horses in their region. Now that's what basically the Kentucky Derby is. It's kind of like the Final Four. You're bringing all the horses from every region, and now it's a collection of very good horses, and you know, we'll see how it works out.
What's the status of Cato River?
As of right now, we're training him as if he's running in the Derby. We've had a couple of different conversations with John and Anthony, and you know, we don't have to make that decision on whether we're going to run or not. I know he wants to do what's best for the horse. I know he's been trying to win the Kentucky Derby for 50 years, and he's won the Preakness a couple times. And you know, he wants to win the Derby, but he also wants to do what's right for the horse. And you know, we're going to let him tell us. No one's, you know, we don't have to answer that question as far as if we're running right now, but we'll kind of monitor him over the next week or so and see how he's doing.
Can you reflect how Travel Column came out of her work yesterday?
Really good. She's really moving well. The work was fantastic. She's a great workhorse, and I'm looking forward to the Oaks.
Can you reflect on Essential Quality's Bluegrass? I think some people are trying to, you know, get some hope out of there that maybe he's vulnerable, but talking to Luis, he made it sound like, you know, the idea was to win, but not to gut him.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Really, we had made that, you know, we had talked a couple of days leading up to the race after the post position draw. And, you know, Lee said, you know, I want to leave some gas in the tank. And I think he did. He ran 29 feet further than the winner that day. He came out of it with a great number. I thought it was a great effort. And it showed, you know, some determination and fight that he has that we didn't really know. I mean, he had to fight to win the Breeders' Cup. I mean, it wasn't like he just galloped around there in the Breeders' Cup. But, you know, he definitely got a lot out of it. You know, from a mental standpoint and physically. So I thought it was a huge effort. The numbers were all exactly what we wanted to see. And, you know, I think if he's got another step forward in him, he's going to be very tough every day.
Has he had that step forward since riding?
Yeah, he's continued to get better every race. You know, from the time he broke his maiden, Breeders' Futurity, then Breeders' Cup. And then he popped with a really good number in the Southwest. I thought his Southwest number was really good. He raced 3 wide on a muddy track and then came back and moved forward again in the Bluegrass. I mean, really with all these horses, you're hoping they don't regress. He's not given us any signs of regression, you know, based off what he physically looks like and how he's training. So, you know, I do think he needs to step forward one more time, and I definitely think it's possible just given the fact way he looks physically.
My colleague Ed DeRosa marks Essential Quality of a 7-2 vote and Mandaloon 20-1. I'm interested in your assessment. Should they be that far apart?
Oh, I mean, watching them train, no, I don't feel like it. I don't care if they're 2-1 or 200-1, to be honest with you, but I'm not betting them. But you know, it's probably not, but obviously I'm the one on the inside, you know, watching them breeze. I mean, Mandaloon's a very good workhorse. He gives you a lot of practice. But, you know, honestly, based off of their last performances, yeah, there probably should be some separation for sure. Just don't know how much.
And just a question about Mandaloon
on this flight in 5 minutes.
Go ahead.
Mandaloon, just are there any concerns after that last run about his confidence being dented heading into his next race?
I guess you could always, you know, wonder, you know, if he's, you know, up for it or not, but he certainly seems to be up for training. So, you know, I'm just going to have to go with what he's telling us in the mornings, and they're all positive signs, so we're going to march forward.
And again, a couple of nice interviews, three nice interviews actually provided by the Kentucky HVPA. They'll be on the backstretch over the next couple of weeks doing those kind of interviews with players in the Oaks and the Derby and whatnot. We heard from Brad Cox there, Essential Quality and Mandaloon out on the track with Works yesterday, and David Carroll earlier with Soup and Sandwich, Julian Lepro with Helium. So a little update on those runners after some Derby Works Saturday morning at Churchill Downs. Also yesterday, do want to note, we talked about it yesterday, the Rainbow Six at Gulfstream was a mandatory pay. They were expecting maybe $2.5 million, and ballooned up to over $3 million in the pool by the time things were all said and done, and looked to be chalking out. First leg was the favorite, paid $840, so it was a 3-to-1 favorite, but it was a favorite. Second race was the favorite at $5 and change, another $5 and change favorite in the third leg. Second favorite at $6 in the fourth leg. Second favorite at $9 in the fifth leg. So the first five legs of the bet, three favorites, a couple of second choices. Oh, boy, it's going to chalk out. And I took a real swing, folks are thinking. And, yeah, it didn't quite chalk out in the last leg. The ninth longest price in a field of 10 gets it done in the final leg at $98. And the Rainbow Six yesterday at Gulfstream pays $17,000. I'm totally against that result. I've said it before. I like when you know, the little guy puts together a $60, $80, $100 ticket and walks away with maybe $1,500 or $2,000. And it was playing out that maybe a lot of little guys could have walked away with something. I don't know how many little guys had the $98 horse on the ticket. If you did, congratulations. But it is not like people even had rooting interest. In the last leg, the favorite and the second favorite ran 8th and 10th in there. So it was playing out very chalky through the first five legs, and then ballooned up significantly yesterday, the Rainbow with the mandatory down at Gulfstream. Once again, do want to remind you, double promo day here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon. Play the board and the match bet promotion. Swing on down and enjoy that action this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Again, one more reminder that, as I said at the top of the show, the Kentucky Derby Syndicate was wildly popular yesterday and sold out, so to speak. The 30 slots were taken, first come, first serve, in the first 12 minutes after things opened up at noontime yesterday. But I was alerted that we are going to open up another Derby Syndicate this week. So again, keep your eyes and ears open. Check the website for more information. We'll alert you here on the network as well. Give you plenty of time to fire up and get into Syndicate, Kentucky Derby Syndicate number 2, coming up later this week. Also, again, don't forget, in the mornings this week, we will be featuring the morning workouts from Churchill Downs, their workout show. So you can check those out here on the network in the morning starting this week as well. All right. I think that's everything. I think it was a good hour of review and preview and much, much more. Hopefully gave out some ideas for this afternoon, some thoughts for maybe stakes action down the road, looking at results of the stakes yesterday and seeing some of those interviews and whatnot. And we'll do more of the same this afternoon on OTB Live, preview and review of this afternoon's Sunday races. I'm going to take a look at some Oaklawn, some Keeneland, and some Aqueduct this afternoon, but there'll be some other tracks in the mix as well, as always on a Sunday afternoon. Probably kick it off at about 2 hours from now at around 1 o'clock or so for a Sunday afternoon. So wrapping it up for the Sunday edition of Racing Across America, I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in a couple hours with OTB Live.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.